Radio Prague News.
The health minister has said that two committees of experts will be set up to investigate circumstances at separate hospitals that employed a man accused of serial murder. The Green Party has withdrawn from talks on forming a four-party coalition government. Czech economic growth hit 5.8% in the third quarter of 2006. Health Minister Tomáš Julínek has said two committees of experts will be set up to investigate circumstances at separate hospitals that employed alleged serial killer Petr Zelenka. On Friday, the health minister visited one of the hospitals, the site where the murders took place. The accused has admitted to killing patients using lethal doses of the drug heparin in one of the country's worst serial murder cases. No murders reportedly took place at the second facility in Jihlava, where Zelenka was employed for only a short period. Controversy has surfaced in Mr. Zelenka's case over whether officials at the Havlíčkův Brod hospital did enough to speed up involvement by police. The Green Party, led by Martin Bursík, has withdrawn from negotiations on a four-party government. The party's leader announced the decision on Friday. Mr. Bursík indicated that the Greens were unsatisfied that their program priorities had not made it into the draft proposal put forward by the Civic Democrats, titled the Magnificent Seven Reforms. Mr. Bursík made clear he would prefer the right-of-center Civic Democrats leading the talks to return to an earlier three-party proposal, including his party and the Christian Democrats. But such a coalition would not have a guaranteed majority in the lower house. The current attempt by politicians to form a viable government is the second since elections proved inconclusive in June. The Czech Statistical Office has announced that Czech economic growth hit 5.8% in the third quarter of 2006, a slight slowing down compared to the second quarter's 6.0%. But analysts had expected growth to slow even more sharply, but high consumer spending, up 4% compared with the same period last year, continued to boost the economy. Investments also increased, with exports continuing to outdistance imports. Other figures released by the office reveal that unemployment in the month of November dropped by a tenth of a percentage point to 7.3%. That's the lowest unemployment figure in the last 5 years. Currently, 400,044 people are listed as out of work. Analysts contribute the drop in numbers partly to, for example, recent graduates finding first-time employment. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news.
Hi, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, a Senate committee investigates the mayor who forced Roma rent defaulters out of the town of Vsetín. In the capital, meanwhile, a new prize is presented for the best writing in the Romani language. Prague's American Center opens its doors in Malastrana. And later in the arts, a look back at the Oscar-winning film Kolya 10 years later. And a major festival of Václav Havel's plays ends in New York. Stay tuned. Little over a month ago, the mayor of Vsetín, Jiří Čunek, sparked a storm of controversy when he forced hundreds of Roma rent defaulters out of the centre and into portacabins on the edge of town. Some dubbed him a racist, while others applauded his courage in addressing a long-term problem. On Thursday, the Senate's Human Rights Commission set out to investigate. Was Mayor Čunek's decision justified? Daniela Lazarova reports.
Before the big eviction in mid-October, Jiří Čunek was little known at the national level. His decision to get tough with Roma rent defaulters catapulted him to fame and high politics overnight. He is now a senator for the Christian Democratic Party and is seen as a hot candidate for the post of party chairman. Yet he remains a highly controversial figure. Is the man who wants to lead the Christian Democrats a racist who abused his power and violated human rights? That is a question that many people want answered ahead of the party's national conference this weekend. Members of the Senate's Human Rights Committee who visited Vsekin on Thursday claim that Mr. Chunek did not violate the law in any way. Josef Pavlata from the Civic Democratic Party said he was pleasantly surprised by the new accommodation for the Roma rent defaulters and noted that the town hall had gone way beyond its duty by investing in a children's playground and improving the surroundings. In terms of quality, their current accommodation is beyond comparison with the previous, the senator said. Independent Senator Liana Janáčková said that she believed that the solution offered was basically positive, and Milan Bureš of the Civic Democrats went so far as to suggest that this practice could be used for rent defaulters in other towns as well. Overall, a very positive outcome for Jiří Čunek, and one which is likely to boost his candidacy ahead of the weekend party conference. But there is no doubt that many people will remain sceptical. Some of the evicted Romanis are pressing charges of racism against the mayor. And evil tongues say that the Christian Democratic Party has convinced three other members to run for chairman in the hope that Jiří Čunek will not get elected.
And thank you for that report, Daniela Lazareva. That's a jazz improvisation by students from a secondary school in Prague, where almost all the pupils come from the Roma minority. They were performing at the presentation of a new literary prize named after the academic Milena Hipshmanova. Until her death last year, she had devoted many years to supporting Romani writing and culture. The new competition had only one condition. Entries had to be written in the Romani language, spoken in various dialects by Roma communities around the world for hundreds of years. Helena Sadilkova from the Museum of Romani Culture in Brno was on the competition jury. After the ceremony, she spoke to David Vaughan.
About half of the pieces that we received were written by the students from a secondary school. It has been established in the Czech Republic for people who were supposed to be working in the Romani communities. Even though it wasn't supposed to be a Roma-only school, it ended up that most of the students that are now in the schools are from the Romani communities around the Czech Republic, and they have Romani language as one of the subjects that they are receiving their education in. We also received pieces from now already established Romani writers, such as Andrei Giňa. He's mostly writing about his experiences from Slovakia, from pre-war Slovakia.
And the experiences of the teenagers who are writing, they must be dramatically different from writers like Andrei Giňa, who's well-known and who is a well-established Romani writer.
I think the greatest difference for me was that these young people are writing about their own experiences and their own emotions. They are writing for themselves, whereas writers like Andrei Giňa somehow are aware of being the speakers of the Romani community.
And so what sort of things were the younger writers writing?
The piece that received one of the prizes was written by a boy who has been abusing drugs, and he has got through it. Now he's studying at the secondary school, so he was explaining how he got into the problem with the drugs. And then we had pieces that were talking about the history of the families. For example, the boy that has received the first prize in the prose category, he's only 14 years old, and is quite remarkable in how he is actually capable of writing, putting things together. And he has been writing about the history of his own family, describing the history of his grandfather and grandmother.
There's often a lot of doom and gloom about the future of the Romani language here in the Czech Republic, that young Roma don't speak the Romani language as well as their parents and their grandparents, and quite often they know only a few words. Do you have the impression that there is a future for the Romani language generally and for Romani writing?
There are teenagers who use Romani in their everyday communication with their teen colleagues or students or friends. So, in a way, there is a future among the people themselves. And then what's more important, as, for example, the secondary school shows, there is a future for the Romani language even in the schools, because Romani is taught in these schools and it is bringing results, as we've seen in the competition. All of these pieces were written in Romani, and in most of the pieces that we received, it was a very nice language.
Helena Sarilkova of the Museum of Romani Culture in Brno, and she was talking there to David Vaughan at that prize-giving ceremony on Thursday evening. Now, the American Center in Prague has a new home. It's the Vratislavsky Palace in Prague's Malastrana district. The center is the cultural and educational arm of the U.S. Embassy, and it's had many addresses over the years. The new location, embassy staff hope, will be the center's home for many years to come. Ilya Maritz was at Thursday's opening.
The message at the opening ceremony was loud and clear. Come one, come all. We welcome you. U.S. Ambassador William Graber.
People who are interested in America can come to the American Center, and we'd love to have them. Anyone can just show up. No security at all, no fees. People are welcome to come. As long as the doors are open here, we welcome people to this wonderful facility.
That makes a big change from recent years when the center was housed in the U.S. Embassy. All visitors had to pass through a security check to get inside. Before that, it was located on Hybernska Street in central Prague, an address which the center quit for security reasons after September 11, 2001. Miroslav Dušek is the head of information and research at the American Center.
Well, there are two reasons for moving here. One was we wanted to open ourselves more to the Czech public, so become more easily accessible to the Czech public. And the second reason, we wanted to marry the two concepts, the concept of an information resource center and an outreach platform for concerts, conferences, exhibits.
Now on view, photographer Nancy Crampton's black and white portraits of famous American authors, Maya Angelou, Norman Mailer, Annie Proulx, Tennessee Williams, and many more. Later in the month, the center will introduce a number of events with the American writer Michael Cunningham. The address is Tržišće 13, also known as Vratislavsky Palace, a magisterial building in Malastrana that also houses the embassies of Ireland and Luxembourg. It's also just next door to the American Embassy. The historic setting makes a pleasant place to do research, or just soak in the ambiance. The American human rights activist, poet, and longtime Prague resident Gwendolyn Albert was at the center's launch. She said it was an important step towards connecting Czechs and Americans.
There's been a lot about the heightened security that's sort of at odds with the idea of free access to information. And there are many, many people in the United States who want the United States to be an open place and to be about openness. And so I think this is great.
U.S. activist Gwendolyn Albert, ending that report by Ilya Maritz. And as Ilya was saying, the new address of the American Center is Tržišće 13. You're listening to Radio Prague, where now it's time for the business news, for which I'm joined by Rob Cameron.
Thanks, Ian. From the end of next year, VAT on construction will rise from 5% to 19% as an exception one at the time of EU accession comes to an end. Except that is in the case of what's called social housing, which currently means flats up to 90 metres squared, a concession won by the last government. But since then, a European commissioner has said national governments are free to define social housing. That's given Finance Minister Vladimir Tlusti the idea of declaring all new homes social. His proposal has been controversial, with some saying it would be hard to defend in Brussels. The government on Wednesday postponed a decision on the matter.
The first ever Czech issue of government bonds maturing in 30 years was heavily oversubscribed. The finance ministry said this week investors bought bonds worth over 13 billion crowns in the November 29th auction. There had been demand for 23 billion crowns worth. The bond issue comes after an upwards revision of planned borrowing for this year.
The saga of introducing a charging system for trucks on Czech roads continues. Hospodářské noviny reported on Friday that a Swiss company which failed in the tender process, Ascom Filler, is considering taking the Czech state to court for breaking its own conditions. This would not be the first legal challenge since the road toll contract went to Austria's Kapsch. It's due to begin trials of the charging system next week, ahead of full introduction on January 1st.
Trade between the Czech Republic and Poland is booming. reaching over 200 billion Czech crowns, that's around 10 billion US dollars, in 2006. That's according to preliminary data just released by Czech Trade. Poland is the Czech Republic's third biggest trading partner, after Germany and Slovakia. And the best-selling Czech products there include Škoda cars, machine tools, and Zetor tractors. Analysts say trade should grow further when both countries join the Schengen border-free zone at the end of next year.
And finally, lace makers from Sedlice in South Bohemia have received an unusual order. They've been asked to create lace for the bed linen used by the 19th century Austrian Empress Elizabeth, Lara Frontatenes reported. Officials in Sedlice say the million crown contract will help preserve the local lace making tradition, which dates back to the mid-18th century.
Now, in the final part of our programme today, it's time for the arts. And doesn't time fly? It's now 10 years since the Oscar-winning Czech movie Kolya. And a festival of Václav Havel's plays has just come to an end in the Big Apple. Rob Cameron joins us now with both of those stories.
Coming up this week, playwright Václav Havel takes New York by storm in a major retrospective of his works and also picks up the theatre awards he was denied for more than two decades.
Start spreading the news.
More of that in a moment. First of all, this week, Czech cinema's most successful film in recent years is celebrating its 10th anniversary. 1996 saw the release of Kolya, the touching tale of a cash-strapped concert cellist in Soviet-era Czechoslovakia, who finds himself the stepfather of a five-year-old Russian boy called Kolya after a money-making scheme goes wrong. The film won an Oscar, the first Czech film to do so since Jiří Menzel's Closely Observed Trains in 1966, and has since been seen by 15 million people in 43 countries. To celebrate Kolya's 10th anniversary, the film's creators, including director Jan Svierak and his father Zdeněk, who starred and also co-wrote the screenplay, held a discussion at the Russian Cultural Center in Prague on Thursday. Afterwards, I spoke to Jan Svierak.
I was watching this film yesterday, and I was still touched and surprised how the script is nice, how the dialogue works, and how my father was young. That was slightly what I found melancholic about it.
Do you think the film still sort of stands the test of time today when audiences watch it? Does it still have the same magic for them as it did 10 years ago, do you think?
Of course, film is dating, and even Kolya is dating, but I think 10 years is not such a long time. I would say after 30, 40 years, like today, when I was a child, I was watching Charlie Chaplin's silent movies, and it was part of the culture that time. And it's not so, it's 30 years ago. And today, you can't see it on TV. My kids wouldn't understand why someone is watching silent black and white movie. What's so funny about it? So the same will happen to Kolya as well, but not yet.
10 years ago, I suppose, the relationship between Czechs and Russians was rather different because it was only recently, 10 years ago, that, say, the Red Army had left Czechoslovakia, yeah. And only a few years, really, since the fall of communism. Do you think a film like Kolya, which sort of takes place within this dynamic, can it still be as relevant today as it was 10 years ago? Or do you think today Czech audiences are not really interested in their relationships with Russians anymore?
You are correct. At that time, for us Czechs, the film had completely different charge, you know. It was this big guy, my father represents the small country, and the oppressor, the hated enemy and our neighbor, was represented by this small, cute boy, you know. And this dilemma was something. And for outside audience, for Americans or Japanese, the core of the story and why they love the movie was the father-son relationship, the humanity of it. And this is the quality which the Czech audience today can appreciate on Kolya, and not anymore the relationship between Czech Republic and Russia, because we are now finally separated two entities.
And no plans to make Kolya 2, Kolya as a young man?
No. Of course, Kolya, when we finished shooting, the small boy had this idea. He said, okay, I left the country with my mother and I become a doctor in Germany, and you will be very sick as my father. As an old man, you will be sick, and I will come back from Germany to heal you.
But nothing came of that.
No. I don't believe in second and third parts. They are usually not so good as the first one was.
Filmmaker Jan Svirák on the 10th anniversary of his greatest success, Collier. Former President Václav Havel is one of the world's most eminent playwrights, and this week in New York he finally got the chance to pick up a few awards. Mr. Havel won the Village Voices Obie Award for Distinguished Playwriting, Off-Broadway's highest honour, in 1968, 1970 and 1984, but was unable to collect the awards in person for the simple reason that he was placed under house arrest by the communist regime. Václav Havel, the only head of state ever to receive an Obie, is currently in New York at the invitation of Columbia University's Arts Initiative, and so this week he was invited to the city's Newman Theatre to pick up the prestigious prizes. The ceremony followed a major retrospective of Mr. Havel's plays, the first time anywhere, in fact, that all of his works had been performed in one festival. I spoke to the festival's artistic director, Edward Einhorn, from New York's Untitled Theatre.
We did 18 plays in all. It's a mixture of full length and one act. So some of them were on individual programs, some of them were on double bills and such. But we put them all on within the course of about 5 to 6 weeks.
And what kind of response was there from the audience?
It was a very enthusiastic response. A lot of people who were coming into the theater had heard of President Havel's work and knew about it, but had never gotten a chance to really see it. And those who had, often had only seen maybe one or two plays, because even though he's very well known, not a lot of his plays have been going up in the United States recently. And so people were very excited about the chance to see a lot of the plays together. And I think they came off very well. I think that it's a particularly interesting experience to not only see a playwright's play, but see them reflecting one against the other. I think you get a whole new appreciation of the way they're writing, what they're writing about. And I think that audiences really appreciate that as well.
Václav Havel is spending a few months in the United States. Did he attend any of the performances himself?
He did. He attended about 8 or 9 of the performances. I think he was getting more and more excited as he was going. He was originally intending to attend a couple, and he enjoyed those, and he sort of became interested in saying, well, what's the next one like, or what's the next one like? And so he started arriving just unannounced to the theater just to find out what some of the other plays were like. And he told me that he was most excited about the fact that there were a few plays that he had sort of given up on, you know, that there were plays he felt like were his strong plays, and there were these other plays that he wasn't sure that he liked anymore. And he enjoyed our productions of those, and so he sort of has a renewed interest in those plays as well.
And it must have been obviously very exciting for the actors in these plays to actually meet the playwright in person there in the theatre after the performance.
It was extraordinarily exciting for everyone. I mean, I think it was exciting for the actors to meet the playwright and have him say hello. Often we didn't tell the actors that he was in the audience until afterwards because we didn't want to make them overly nervous. But he would say hello to the cast each time after the show. It was very gracious with everyone. And it was exciting for the audiences to see him watching his own plays. It was exciting for the festival staff just to have him coming in and out. And the most important thing to us was that the person Havel enjoyed the work, love and anything, and he did. So we were really gratified that he kept coming back.
Edward Einhorn, artistic director of the Havel Festival, speaking to me earlier from New York. And all that's left for me to say, I suppose, is if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
It's up to you, New York.
And that edition of The Arts by Rob Cameron brings us to the end of today's programme here on Radio Prague. Before we go, there's just time to invite you to join us for our programmes this weekend. On Saturday, Daniela Lazareva has all the stories which don't make the front pages in magazine. We'll also have a new Czech phrase for you in Soundcheck and meet a celebrity chef in One-on-One. On Sunday, we'll be reading your letters in Mailbox, followed by Letter from Prague and Magic Carpet. The featured artists this weekend are the Stein sisters, a pair of Czech female singer-songwriters, and a Czech-Canadian woman who sings in Yiddish. We hope you can join us for that. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in today's programme, or if you've got any queries for us, don't hesitate to get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.